fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Lloyd Greenhawk, compadre in the work of Renewal Ministries and the international work of evangelization that we're engaged in. Lloyd and his lovely wife, Nancy, are we call country coordinators for our work in Renewal Ministries. They do lots of work for us, working with bishops, priests, lay people on the ground in places like Papua New Guinea and Zimbabwe and Rwanda and wonderful places all around the world where the Lord's doing a lot and he's making a very substantial contribution. He's a layman, married, he's a papa, he's a grandfather, and somebody who, if you haven't had a chance to listen this week, he's been with us all week. Go to our website at renewalministries.net. He just talks about the unfolding story of his life from deeper conversion, how he entered the Catholic Church, how the Lord kind of one step at a time showed him that he had a further plan for him and how he was preparing him for that plan. And I learned a lot from just listening, and I know you who are tuned in, I'm sure, did the same. Welcome back, Lloyd.
It's wonderful to be back, Peter. Thank
you.
Yeah,
it's good to have you here. So everybody's probably hanging on yesterday's program. We had to end. We just looked at the clock. We both kind of lost track, and you're right in the middle of a really good story and weren't able to finish it. So, friends, if you were listening yesterday, here's the rest of the story. So why don't you set it up again and just finish what you were going to say?
I was hearing yesterday that this wonderful lady by the name of Kristen Taylor, she started this ministry called Foreign Ministries, thankfully helping others' real needs. And we began to serve the homeless on the streets of Tampa. And in some of the stories, it was kind of like a primer for us, you know, kind of going back to primary school and learning exactly how to minister to people, not theology, but more practically how to minister to people's real needs.
A little bit like smell like the sheep, Pope Francis is lying,
exactly.
Like kind of get down there. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, part of it was changing of our worldview. I had personally, I won't burden my wife with that same mindset, but my whole idea is, well, why don't these people, why don't they just go to work, you know? And, you know, like I said, yesterday I was just sharing with you that there were a lot of professional people out there and doctors and lawyers and, you know, they made a mistake, maybe a relationship. Most of it was drug related, you know, crack cocaine, heroin, different types of things here. But they would like to get off the streets, but the addictions were so strong they were unable to. And of course, you know, then that leads on where they don't have money, so they begin to sell their bodies, they begin different things like this. But, you know, again, like I said yesterday there, but for the grace of God goes I. And my whole idea changed because I saw these people in a totally different light. God began to change my heart and my mind, which really prepared me to work in different countries, different type of cultures and things. So anyways, I shared yesterday about Frank. Frank, for the first couple of 3 years I knew him, every time I saw him, he'd come underneath the Crosstown Expressway in Tampa along with 400 or 500 other men and women, and he was drunk every time I saw him. And this particular cold for Florida, cold, not Ann Arbor cold, but for Florida cold, he came in, he was soaking wet, it was raining, and he was barefoot. And one of the men that knew him said, "Hey, Frank, here, I see you're barefoot. Here, take my shoes." And Frank was saying, no, I'm not going to take your shoes, man. And he said, "No, I'm going home after this, and you need these shoes." And he took off a coat. It was a brand new coat his wife had just bought from him. And boy, she was really mad at him for giving away the brand new coat and things here. So anyways, the next week, Frank came back again. And for the first time in 2 or 3 years, he was sober. And he came forward and he said, "I just want to tell you my story." He said, "I was a pilot in Vietnam," and he said, "I would drop napalm on villages. I killed innocent men. I killed innocent women, villagers and stuff here, and I was shot down, and I was captured by the Viet Cong, and I was put in a cage, and I was 4 years in a cage, a bamboo cage." He said, "They knocked my teeth out with bamboo poles. I subsisted on insects and rotten rice and things like this, but," he said, "I deserved it because of what I had done." And when I got out of prison, at the war was over here, he said that I came back and everybody hated me. Everybody hated Vietnam. They hated what I'd done. And he said, it was very easy for me just to drop out of society. And he says, "I've been coming all these years, and every week when I come, you were telling me that God loves me, that he could forgive me. And finally, when you took your shoes off and you gave me your coat," he said, "for the first time, I understood that that God sent you there, and he really does love me, and he really does forgive me. And he said, I just wanted you to know that you have made a difference in my life. And Frank went on to get him a job, and about 2 weeks later, he came back and he said, here, I want to give you back your shoes. And Ray said, no, keep those shoes. And he says, no, you don't understand. He said, these are size 9, I wear 12, these are killing my feet. but that was one story. And, you know, all these people, they have a story behind them. I remember one young man, he has a degree in engineering. And, you know, every week we would see him, and, you know, he wasn't high. But every week he was just, you know, come to get some food and things here. And we gave him a rosary. You know, we always handed out rosaries. We handed out prayer cards and things here. And, you know, he was wearing a rosary. One week he came and he said, well, guys, I won't see you anymore. And we said, oh, what's happening? You know, and he said, well, he said, I want you to know. He says, I got baptized today. And I was kind of laughing at one of the little street churches there, wearing a rosary. I don't know what they thought about that, but he said, I got baptized today. And he said, I went down to Tampa College. And he said, I showed them the degree that I had, and they are allowing me to catch up. And they're going to give me free schooling. They're even going to give me room and board so that I can go ahead and finish my degree. And he said, I just want to let you know that when you came every week and told me and showed me and demonstrated your love by coming every week, he said, it made a difference in my life. And those were just a couple of stories that really touched us and led us. I think, Peter, it was just like building a foundation for what God had us to do in the future. He wanted us to begin to experience the love of God for other people, to do away with a lot of the judgment and the condemnation and presuppositions that it's so easy to develop, you know, from my lofty pinnacle of middle America and not seeing other people. And all of this was just all part of the foundation that he had for us. And you know, it was kind of interesting. You know, we were just rocking along and doing some, you know, trying to serve God the best we could. And Kristen asked us to come to Louisville, Kentucky. We did a youth conference in Louisville, Kentucky. And of course, you know, we were doing a passion play. And I played Peter. I played Judas. I played Simon of Cyrene. I had all these different costumes and things here. And actually, Peter, it was very good, you know. Haven't done it in a lot of years since the Passion of the Christ came out. Everything else kind of paled by that. But we even had a film crew came from New York City to film us up at Heinz Farm up in Ohio one time. But anyways, I played all these various parts. And things never, you know, all the background and trying to get the cast together. We had local people and and so Kristen would always send me out front because I kind of got the gift of gab. Yeah. And so I would just kind of sit out there and ad lib until everything got smoothed out and we got ready to do the playing. Well, after the play was over, about a month later, I get a call and said, you know, listen, we're going to have a fire rally up here in Louisville. They said, we'd like you to come be the MC of the fire rally. And, you know, for us, a fire rally, oh, that's Ralph Martin. That's Father John Bertolucci, that's Sister Ann Shields, Father Mike Scanlon. One of the first big conferences we ever went to was a fire rally over in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and the local priest was a guy by the name of Sam Jacobs, which eventually became Sam Jacobs.
Bishop Sam Jacobs.
And anyways, of course, we jumped at the opportunity to come and do that, and you know, that's where I met Ralph Martin. And the night before, they had all of the primary speakers had a table, and all the workers got to sit with them. And so we sat with Ralph, and Ralph kept continually asking us about the ministry, about our street ministry. We had been invited to Cuba by Cardinal Ortega. We taught evangelization there, invited to the Dominican Republic. We had invited to Trinidad. So we had already had a ministry reaching out as God opened doors for us. And Ralph just, you know, I'm thinking to myself, here's a man that's basically been everywhere, done everything. He has contacts. He's changed so many hearts and minds, and he's interested in my little old pipsqueak mom and pop ministry that we have. And it really showed me the heart of Ralph Martin and Renewal Ministries. And so he said, would you ever consider going on a mission trip? And I said, well, we certainly would. And so about a month later, I get a letter from Renewal Ministries inviting us to a roundtable discussion. And that's where I met you, Peter. And I met, you know, Ralph. And they brought in 50 evangelists from around the United States. And they wanted each one of us to kind of share what God was doing, the Holy Spirit was doing in the church at the time. And afterwards, Peter, you stopped me and you said, would you be interested in going on a mission trip? And I said, well, Peter, we'll go home. I think we would, but I want to ask God first because I don't do anything without asking the boss man anymore. I've done enough of that in the past. I'm through with that. I want to only do whatever God's will for me is. And sure enough, God says, y'all have the same worldview that we do, and it would be a great opportunity for us to serve the kingdom of God on a larger plateau, a larger stage and things. And so, you know, I remember, Peter, you came down to Gainesville, and you asked us to drive up from St. Petersburg, Florida, and meet you in Gainesville. And you asked, well, would y'all like to go on a mission to Ghana? And I said, well, Peter, we told you we would. And he said, so Nancy said, well, Peter, who's going to be on this mission? And Peter grinned, and he says, well, you and Nancy. And I said, well, what are we supposed to do? He said, you guys will know. You're evangelists. And so that was our initiation, if you would, into Renewal Ministries. And slowly, as opportunity presented, Renewal Ministries gave us more opportunities. I think Kenya was the next country, and Uganda was the next country. And, you know, one thing that I've enjoyed about working with Renewal Ministries is we don't advertise, we don't promote Renewal Ministries in the mission fields. It's kind of, it grows generically. You know, people hear about us, and the bishops will invite us in. And one of the things that we personally do is that we don't go into a country unless we're invited by the Episcopal authorities. We don't go in the back door, because we know that the power and authority comes from the hierarchy of the church, from the Pope to the bishops on back down to the priest and things here. So that's part of our modus operandi when we go into a particular area. And so that kind of began our journey into the mission fields and to be able to serve the kingdom of God. And that was a real experience. I talk about that first trip to Ghana. We went to a place called Swedra in Okimoda, and we were supposed to teach an evangelization school. And when we got there, the organizer said, well, you know, you have an hour to teach your part of the evangelization school. And I looked at him and said, I didn't fly 7,000 miles to teach 1 hour and go back to my room and said, arrange something in the parishes. I want to do some revivals. I want to reach out. We want to do some healing services. We want to invite the power of God to come in. And they looked at me kind of startled, and they said, well, okay. And so they went to the local priest. And so he invited us to come to the parish. And so we met with him, and he said, I've got three unusual cases. And now you talk about an unusual case, the hair would go up on the back of my neck. But in those days, we were young and gullible and things here. And so, oh, sure, Father. And he said, well, the first one is, I want a sister to pray with you. And I thought, okay, well, here's a sister that has been involved in evangelization, and he wants her to be a part of our team as we pray for people. Well, that wasn't the case. The sister had not been able to receive communion for 2 or 3 years. She was afraid of the Eucharist, so she wouldn't even receive communion. And so by God's grace, we prayed for her, and God set her free.
Yeah, and so she was she under some kind of a curse or something like that?
I don't remember the particulars of the thing here, but yeah, she had some demonic interference going on there, and God led us in a prayer, in the right type of prayer, and she for the next day, she came and joined us at communion for the first time in 2 or 3 years, and that was a remarkable, Peter, just the freedom that God wants to bring to everyone. People out there right now that no matter how deep or how bad or how is persistent your problem is, God's got a way out. God's got a way out for everyone in this world.
Yeah, he does, to freedom. And I know that's a key part of how God has used you and Nancy all around the world. Again, time just seems to fly on these shows, Lloyd, so can you be back tomorrow? I'd like you to share a little bit about what you've seen as you guys continue to move in the mission field and what it means to come into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God.
I would love to, Peter. Thanks for the invitation.
All right, friends, have a great day, and God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.